You're listening to Food Integrity Now with your host, Carol Gervais.
Hello and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Gervais. I'm the host of the show. At Food Integrity Now, we envision a healthy, sustainable world. A world where our food is free from GMOs and harmful chemicals. Where our food is healthy and safe for our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come. If you share our vision, please go to our website and join us by subscribing to us. And please don't forget to confirm your email. We'd also like to thank bensound.com for our new intro and outro music.
Hi, it's Carol again. Do you drink almond milk? Do you know that packaged almond milk contains all sort of nasty additives like carrageenan and barely contains any actual almonds? The good news is that you can make fresh almond milk at home in minutes. Once you taste the creamy, fresh flavor of homemade almond milk, you'll never go back. I make my almond milk at home with a Nutiana nut milk bag. It's great, easy to use, easy to clean, and makes my almond milk silky smooth. In addition to nut and seed milks, you can use it for sprouting, making cold brew coffee, juicing, and more. Buy yours today by searching the Nutiana nut milk bag on Amazon. That's Nutiana nut milk bag. Or go to Nutiana.com.
You're going to love this bag.
I'm very excited today to have with me Rachel Parent, founder of Kids Right to Know. And I really wanted to talk to you today, Rachel, about what you did yesterday and the Monsanto's annual shareholders meeting. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Carol.
You are welcome. And I just thought it would be really interesting to talk to you briefly about what transpired yesterday. And before we do that, just let our listeners briefly know who you are, a little bit more about you.
For sure. My name is Rachel Parent. I'm 16 years old, and I'm the founder of an organization, Kids Right to Know. What we do is we advocate for mandatory GMO labeling and also educate people about what's really happening to their food system, especially surrounding the issue of GMOs. I had the opportunity, an incredible opportunity, to go to the Monsanto shareholder meeting yesterday, and it was an incredible experience.
How were you able to go?
Well, I obtained proxy from a shareholder so that I could go in her behalf, and it was absolutely, definitely eye-opening. I went with Moms Across America. It was their initiative, and there were three generations of women, a grandmother, a mother, and a younger person, and we all went as concerned citizens about their food.
Okay, great. And were you able to speak at the meeting?
I did. I spoke for 3 minutes in the question and answer period, and actually, again, so I spoke twice during question and answer period, and I'm sure they weren't too happy with me.
Okay, what did you talk about? Can you share a little bit with us?
For sure. The first question that I asked, I first made somewhat of a speech. It was about 2 minutes long, and I was really focusing on labeling for the first one and how, in reality, by opposing mandatory GMO labeling like they've done for Proposition 37 in California or in Washington and Oregon, where they've brought forth bills about GMO labeling, that in reality, they're wasting shareholders' money by trying to fight consumers' right to know. So I really went over that. The second thing is I asked at the end, Mr. Grant, will you commit to stop wasting tens of millions of shareholders' dollars opposing consumers' right to know? Will you commit to stop fighting transparency and our freedom of choice? And will you commit to stop fighting our democracy? So that's what my first, I guess you could call speech, was about. And the second one was about publishing the safety studies. I brought along a statement from 300 scientists who all said that there was no consensus among scientific research about the safety of GMOs. So I brought that forth, and I really wanted to know if Mr. Grant would commit to publishing on his website the controlled animal feeding studies that Monsanto conducted to determine the safety of GMOs and Roundup, including the raw data. And at the end, I finished with a statement saying, if your studies prove that GMOs are safe, you have nothing to be afraid of. Obviously, they're trying to hide something if they don't want to put it on the website. So that's what I really want to come out.
In response to when you first spoke, what did Hugh Grant have to say? And again, Hugh Grant is the CEO of Monsanto.
Hugh Grant, for the first one, completely avoided the topic of GMO labeling. He said that although it may not seem like it, he's always been in support of voluntary GMO labeling, which is not what we're advocating for. We're advocating for mandatory GMO labeling because every citizen, no matter what their social economic background is, no matter what their ethnic background is, they all deserve the right to know what's in their food. So that was the first thing. Then he went on almost a rant about how we need to feed the world and how I was too young and inexperienced to know about this, but that he's lived for so much longer and that he's been working in this field for more than 30 years. So that's how he answered the first one. For the second one, he made sure to say that I was just a guest. Meanwhile, I had proxy, so technically I was representing a shareholder there. But he just said, oh, thank you to our special guest, Rachel. We don't agree with that science. But what I don't understand is how can you disagree with 300 scientists who all have come out with a statement saying that there is no scientific consensus? That would be my next question if I were allowed to ask it. So it was definitely interesting. And, you know, he said, you have that, but I humbly disagree. And it was almost in a very smug way. So it was definitely an interesting experience.
So, Rachel, how do you feel you were treated overall?
I mean, we were treated well. Everyone was pleasant enough. But there definitely was a little bit of tension, and you could tell. As soon as our group walked into the room, every person turned around, and they were all looking at us. So that was one part of it. The second part, it was a little bit creepy because every single person, whether it was from the handlers, which are assigned to you to take you from place to place, and or even the shareholders, they all know who we were. In fact, even security, when we were coming in, said, oh, hi, Rachel, and asked if it was my mom and asked about the group, and they all knew who each individual was. So that was very interesting, slightly creepy. But in general, we were treated all right. When I met Mr. Grant, he was pleasant enough, but he was looking at me almost as if he was analyzing me. And we both just said hello and went on our ways.
Well, that's very interesting that they knew you were coming, they knew your names. And I think when we talked offline, you said they even knew your mother's name.
Yeah.
They did their background research, I'm sure,
on
all three of you. So, Rachel, what was the purpose of you going to the shareholders meeting? What did you want to accomplish by attending?
I really wanted to go to the shareholder meeting because I wanted to put Mr. Grant on the spot and ask him why he would spend millions and millions of dollars trying to hide what's really happening to our food if he's so proud of his technologies and so proud of his safety studies. Why wouldn't he publish them on the website so that everybody can see and so that other independent scientists can review this data? So that was the main reason that I wanted to go, was simply to confront him about this issue and the fact that in reality, he's trying to stop our democracy by fighting GMO labeling. They spend millions and millions of dollars each year lobbying our governments so that we won't have the right to know what's in our food. So that was the first thing I wanted to address. Secondly, I wanted to bring this to the public so that they could see what's really happening behind closed doors and the reality of the company.
Great. And do you feel like any of the shareholders agreed with you, or was it, how did you feel about the other shareholders?
It was really interesting how they set everything up at this meeting, actually. What they did was they voted online before we got into the meeting, which was problematic because when everybody is bringing forth their proposals, people have already voted. So therefore, all three proposals that were brought forth that were very important for our movement got denied. So that was a really, really big problem for us. And I mean, it seemed almost as if a lot of the people in that shareholders meeting were planted. I mean, I was congratulated quite a few times afterwards, and people came up to me, the shareholders, and said, wow, you're a really good speaker for your age, or great statement you made. But and we did get a lot of looks from people, or whenever we made a statement, sometimes the shareholders would laugh. I mean, they obviously, some of them don't agree with the statements that we're making. But that's no reason to stop, because these people have invested in the wrong company. It's creating incredible damage to our world, and it's affecting our future, the future generations, because our soil and our water is never going to be the same anymore. It's contaminated with pesticides and herbicides. Even the WHO is saying that glyphosate is a probable carcinogen and it's probably causing cancer in people. Well, right now, the number one killer of kids in Canada is cancer. So these are really big issues that we're facing to our future, and things that we're facing right now too, and we really need to address it, because us, the youth, are suffering the consequences that these big companies, the decisions that these big companies are making. So that's why they need to be stopped.
Well said, and I want to really thank you, and I applaud you for having the courage to speak up. I just congratulate you on that. And regardless of the results of the three of you going to this meeting, they heard you.
Yep, agreed.
So again, I applaud you for that. Rachel, thank you so much for being a guest today. And I've also interviewed Ann Temple and Beth, and we're going to be moving on to their interview next. So stay tuned. I'm so thrilled to be with my two guests today. I have with me Ann Temple from Moms Across America, Wisconsin, and Beth Savitt, and she is the president of the Shaka Movement in Maui. And the reason that I'm going to be speaking with them today is because they attended the Monsanto shareholders meeting yesterday in St. Louis. And we wanted to find out what transpired during that meeting. So welcome, both of you. Anne, do you want to start out with, from your perspective, what happened yesterday?
Sure. Thanks for having us on, and Carol. And basically, we came to the meeting yesterday. I came representing Moms Across America, and they coordinated to have three generations of women speaking at the meeting. Obviously, me, Rachel Parent from Kids Right to Know from Canada, and Beth here from the Shaka Movement in Maui. And we are representing three generations of moms that we want glyphosate stopped. And what we said, you know, in the room, we had, you know, major legal ramifications, and will have an impact on shareholder profits if not addressed, which was one of the points that we were trying to bring across in the shareholder meeting. They have a stake in this. This is going to affect them. There's over 700 lawsuits pending right now against the misuse of glyphosate, and that's a huge legal issue right now. They're not following label directions, which is to have the area cordoned off when sprayed for 4 hours to allow the product to dry. The landscapers and parks and schools and school applicators, they're not following these label directions. This product is causing great harm, and we presented them a binder with 42 studies which showed the proof of harm, and that's what happened, and that's what we were presenting there. We also addressed the issues having to go with the fact that Hugh Grant wants to, you know, move forward with this voluntary labeling with the QR codes, and we also addressed that issue, which is discriminatory. Nobody wants to have to use their smartphone, if you even have one, to scan every item in the store to see if it contains genetically modified ingredients. Moms buy 85% of the food, and we should have the right to know what we're putting in our children and if it's making them sick.
And just so our listeners know, Hugh Grant is the CEO of Monsanto.
He knew we were there. He was prepared for us. Someone pointed us out, and he came back to greet us. And, you know, I basically just shook his hand and said, nice to meet you. I wasn't there to cause problems. My job was to come there and get our point across and let them know, the shareholders know, that Monsanto needs to change directions. But I will let Beth here talk to you about her introduction to Mr. Grant.
Okay.
Aloha. It was quite an experience going to the Monsanto facility, I'll call it, their headquarters itself. When we arrived in Ann's van with organic, you know, bumper stickers all over the back, immediately we were scoped out by their security and escorted to a parking lot that was way in the boonies, and two other security came up and sealed the parking lot with their cars. We were then given handlers so that we would not stray, and they stayed with us in the building, which was very interesting. So in the auditorium, we had a chance to shake hands with Mr. Grant, and I instead chose to lay Mr. Grant. I gave Mr. Grant a Hawaiian lei, and the tradition is to go cheek to cheek on both sides, and then go nose to nose, forehead to forehead, and look into each other's eyes with a steady gaze. And I said, Mr. Grant, do you know how to do this? And he goes, I know how to do this. So I got to lay Mr. Grant. There was quite a few looks from the audience and the handlers as I did that.
Oh, did anybody get a photograph of that?
No cameras allowed, dear. No cameras allowed.
They were shooting video everywhere, but I don't know if they started shooting before the meeting. So
okay,
that will be remain to be seen.
I really had hoped for it would be a great photo, but yeah, it was just a very interesting experience meeting the man and being in the facility itself. They thought there was going to be big protests, and it was just the three of us.
What was your purpose for being there, Beth? What did you hope to accomplish?
To educate and inform the stockholders that their company would really benefit by announcing their lobbying and who they give their money to. They do not have to disclose giving to a 501c3. That was really important to me because I was the president of a moratorium that went on the ballot in Maui, and they spent $8 million that were accounted for by them against me. But there was this group called the Citizens Against the Farming Ban, because that's who we were. They called us the Farming Banners, and I guess I was the president of it. And we don't really know how the Farming Ban got all their money. It seemed to seep in from various sources. We wanted that disclosed. That didn't happen, which was very interesting. It was called kind of hidden. We'd also like to know which political people, which politicians are receiving money. I think that's a real thing. I think it's a good thing to know. And second of all, Maui is the pivotal point for GMO crop testing. We have open-air testing on our island. We have four growing seasons a year. Mr. Grant is not going to let us go. He has us embroiled with Maui County in a legal suit, which has now hit the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And I wanted to let Mr. Grant and Monsanto know by my presence there yesterday and by speaking to the pesticides on our island and how they're affecting people and the illegal use of nervine agents that have been banned are being used. I'm not backing down. I'm not going away, and I was there to remind them of that. Mr. Grant also informed me that he liked Hawaii, and he wasn't going to leave either.
Okay. So were there any shareholders that were agreeing with you, or did you get any sense of they were listening and hearing things they may have never heard before?
I think they looked at us as just advocates with no science behind us. Remember, that's what these people are being told, that us eco-terrorists, literally, which is what they call us, has no science behind us. That's ridiculous.
And they say that glyphosate, just like they did with aspartame, they said that glyphosate is one of the most, you know, studied chemicals on the planet, and all their science is safe, and they've done the trillion meal study and the 100 million cow study, and it all shows no harm, and we all know that to be patently false, and it's actually criminal.
The reason they make that statement is because glyphosate in and of itself doesn't absorb easily transdermally, meaning through your skin. Well, the thing is, the inert ingredients in what becomes Roundup or other applications make a chemical cocktail which drives it right into the plant. So if you pour glyphosate even on a plant, it can't get in the plant. You have to give these inert ingredients, and adjuvants they're called, to get them into the plant. It's these combinations. They're lethal. They have up to 80 different chemicals being sprayed across our island, which means there's a potential for 10 to the 23rd power of chemical combinations. We all took some form of chemistry class. It would be impossible to conduct those studies. On Maui, we grow 82% of the BT corn seed to make biodiesel fuel and feed cows and pigs on the mainland. We are ground zero for this issue. They don't want to give us up. They don't want to let us go.
And, Carol, the inability for Monsanto to address the issue was, you know, very, very predictable. How, after all they have known that glyphosate showed cancer-causing effects since 1983, and they continue to promote spraying it in our food, on roadsides, in public areas, the drift in exposure, especially like in Hawaii, especially to pregnant women and children from spraying and, you know, food residue exposure, knowing the new science is available to us, that they continue to ignore, is in fact criminal.
They even took down the World Health Organization statement that glyphosate is a probable carcinogen, and it actually might be upgraded to carcinogen this year. Mr. Grant poo-pooed that, calling it bad work, bad study, no science.
That seems to be their big claim, that people who are against this technology are anti-science. And I think that's so interesting. And here you are presenting a binder full of 42 scientific studies on just glyphosate.
We have a lot more. All these studies can be found on our website. You can go to monitorcrossamerica.org. We have a tab called Under Data, and we have all the studies that we handed them are up there on that website. So we actually have the science to back it up. I also work in a lab, so I work with actually the same kind of a mice that Monsanto used in their 90-day study. So they're saying that, you know, that they kept these mice alive for far too long, and so of course they got cancer. Well, guess what we just found out? That the rat chow that they're feeding these mice in the labs now, they have been shown to contain glyphosate. So it has to be stopped. It has to be stopped. The company needs to change direction. That's what we're trying to get across. We're trying to get across to shareholders that from the business end of this, it's not a good business investment to continue promoting this old technology. You know, now they're bringing dicamba back in, and they're using these other combinations to try to get rid of these superweeds. We have over, you know, 300 million acres of superweeds. That Mother Nature is going to find a way. We need to find a way to work with her, not against her.
I know one of their claims, too, is that we need GMOs to feed the world, and that can be...
Oh, if you look at that data, you'll notice that actually they have produced, the fields have produced fewer and fewer pounds of food. This is not increasing our food supply.
And we have more than enough food to feed the world. The United States alone wastes over 40% of the food. That is not the issue, but that's what they're trying to put across, that we need this technology to feed the world. And, you know, and it's just not true. So they need to stop with that, but they're not going to, because people believe it. And that's our job as activists, is to get out there and get the word out, get the truth out, and let people understand what's going on.
On Maui, we have been focusing on our right to health. Everyone has this right to know. But for us on Maui, it's definitely our right to health. We have experimental fields next to homes, literally next to homes, a football field away. They're spraying atrazine, 2,4-D, dicamba, and they're spraying them at night because they think that's nicer. Well, in Maui, you leave your windows open. On Maui, we have trade winds. And unfortunately for the people that live in Halepiolani, next to this experimental field, they get it at night. They're breathing it at night. It goes right to them via the trade winds. The trade winds actually blow in the directions of the home from the field.
Yeah, I don't even know how to respond to that. It's so sad.
It is frightening. That particular field, I'll tell you, in our court case, we're in courts with Monsanto now and Maui County. That field, when they responded to our filings in the state level, and we also had redacted documents from them when they filed in the federal court. It was mostly redacted, which means blacked out. We couldn't even know their brief. My lawyer didn't even know what their argument was. We never had a hearing. We passed a law. The moratorium said no more. Let's sit down. Let's make sure we're not hurting anybody. They are still functioning. Our vote has been ignored.
And there's over 700 lawsuits. We expect lawsuits to continue. We expect the sales for Roundup to continue to drop. We expect the company's shares to continue to go down. They're just now laying off 60% of their workforce. Being at the shareholder meeting, we're letting them know that it's just ignoring all these pitfalls is bad business.
Yeah.
In a phone call with the EPA, in Maui County Council testimony hearings over our ballot initiative, they stated that they have never tested any of these chemicals that are being sprayed on Maui in combination. Never. So we don't even know what's going on. We just know people are getting sick. We're seeing more cancer. We're seeing more autism. We're seeing more asthma.
And there's no way to track this because they don't have the information that they need.
As a matter of fact, in Maui County in 2008, they took care of it by just ceasing to collect health data. They wouldn't even let the County Commissioner of Health, Dr. Lauren Peng, collect the data when he begged them to. He said he would do it for free. Instead, they handed it over to the Department of Agriculture. The Department of Ag claimed they had no money. What does the Department of Agriculture have to do with human health in that regard?
They're letting the fox into the hen house.
Yeah. How was it you were both able to attend the shareholders meeting?
John Harrington of Harrington Investment graciously gave us two of his proxy seats. He owns Monsanto shares, which, you know, some people have been giving him flack for. But I talked to him on the phone, a wonderful, wonderful man, and he basically said that the reason why he owns the shares of Monsanto is so that every year he has been able to get in to try to affect change, like the one that we were there for. And the reason I was there was to speak to Monsanto to demand a report regarding mitigating the risks that Roundup has caused. And it passed with 5.3%, so it was voted down, but I was not real happy about that. But Harrington Investments told me they only needed over 3% to get back on the ballot next year, so it was indeed a win. So we had another win. I presented a transparency in lobbying spending. So in other words, let us know where you're spending money. Let the shareholders know.
What lobbyists are you paying? Who are you paying? What 501c3s are you paying? It's really good to be transparent. That one, I believe, was 23% of the votes. We'll be back again next year for that one.
Mm. Wow. Well, I really applaud you for your courage in taking this on and standing up and speaking for all of us who really understand the dangers of glyphosates and GMOs. So how can people get more involved and help? Can you give us your websites?
For sure. Shaka Movement has two Facebook pages, Shaka Movement and Shaka Movement Pivot in the Pacific. We also have a website, Maui GMO moratoriumnews.org.
And Moms Across America, as I stated before, we have a website, momsacrossamerica.org, where you can find the data. We also have a Facebook page where you can join and get notification of events that we're doing, educational videos that we do. We do speaker training for people to go out and let people in their communities know about this. The whole purpose of this is that we need to get out. We need to educate the public, because once the public starts getting educated on this, We will force the point of consumer rejection. These food companies will no longer be producing this food because it's not a good business for them to do, just like they did in Europe. And we want that to happen here. So education is key. We're going to force the point of consumer rejection, and that's how we're going to win. And I want everybody, you know, you said that this was courageous for us. We're so passionate about this. It really doesn't take any courage to speak to this issue because it's just what we have to do, and we need more people out there. We need everybody to become an activist.
Yes, I agree.
And Shaka Movement isn't backing down or going away just because they've, you know, withheld our vote, withheld our moratorium. Instead, I am seeking funding for testing the residents of Maui Nei. We will test ourselves. We'll make sure the people near these facilities get tested and get educated, informed, so we can protect them. This we've got to take on now because our state and our federal government have led us to sit there and be poisoned. So we will do it. And we're doing it through the courts, and we're doing it through directly bringing speakers to Maui Nei, such as Stephanie Seneff. We brought in Carmen, Dr. Judy Carmen from Australia, and we brought Zen Honeycutt in and Ocean Robbins. We're trying to inform our population.
Wonderful. Well, education is the key, isn't it?
Yep, it is. Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
People just drop their jaws when you really start to explain what's going on. It's hard to believe what's happening on Maui and Kauai and Hawaii. It's a paradise, and then when I start to describe what's really going on in paradise, that our windowsills that have been tested recently in Paia contain atrazine, 2,4-D. There was three other ones. I don't have a paper in front of me right now. But it's very real for us. We live with it. The people in Halepiolani live with it on their kitchen counters.
Yeah. Well, you definitely are ground zero. And again, I applaud you for all your great work. And just so our listeners who want to listen to the shareholders meeting, I recorded it and it will be posted on the show page so you can listen to the entire shareholders meeting if you so desire. So thank you again, Anne and Beth, for your great work. And we encourage all our listeners to get involved and go to their websites and see what you can do to make a difference. It really is a matter of life and death. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back next
thanks
week.
Thanks for having us.
Thank
Mahalo
you.
Mahalo and aloha.
Mahalo and aloha, and safe travels back home.